Mitch came in and told us what their record was. The Colorado Rockies.
They're 9-50, right?
This got to be the all-time worst start, right?
They are minus 185 in the diff.
Oof. Okay.
I'm sorry. It's just so ridiculous here. You shouldn't be able to do this.
We did this with the White Sox. Was it a few years ago?
Last year.
But this is really
historic.
This
is even worse. This is even historically.
They have an 8-game losing streak. Real quick, they have an 8-game losing streak. They've won 9 games. This is one point that out. They have an 8-game losing streak going on right now.
Well, so obviously we level with people. We are not the biggest gamblers in the world, but our listeners are obviously always into the lines. They're always wagering on these things. Yes. And so I guess I'm asking, was this an obvious get rich quick scenario that we all missed out on? Should we have been just betting against the Rockies every single game?
So I have sat there, like, there's plenty of people. I'll tell you what, like, you talked about getting texts from people, and I have had plenty of people, and I always just say, I don't know, because I'm not getting myself in any sort of a thing whatsoever over, because I've had so many people, what do you think about this game? And it's always football, and there's some basketball, and I go, I don't know, you always ask, and I don't know. And how do I protect the innocent, even though they're definitely guilty. There's somebody in another workplace that I have that is always, okay, are they going to score 7 combined runs tonight? I'm like, I'm not helping you in this stuff. Like, regular season baseball gambling is as greasy and degenerate as I always thought it was when I was a kid. I go, man, because like I had buddies when I was a kid who were definitely like in on the regular season baseball. They wanted to put down some action. I'm like, man, this seems greasy to me. And I wouldn't help them. Now I'm going, man, they're 9-50. Could we buy Christmas presents if we just bet against the Rockies for the rest of the year? Are we stupid for not betting against the Rockies?
Yeah, even if the proposition, like, how much have they tweaked the odds on all of these Colorado games to where people wouldn't do exactly what we're talking about? To where there's no value in betting against, because when you finally lose, you're putting up so much money just to win a little bit of money.
Yeah.
So that's the only question. What's because why wouldn't everybody be doing this at this point?
So what are the lines? So does anybody have any lines in front of them that we could see that
I'm trying to pull something up here. I'm looking at, you know, we're used to our normal
-6.
Footballs.
Minus
football's easy, right? Yeah. This is big numbers. So right now tonight they play the Marlins, who are 11 games under 500. And the Marlins are minus 190.
Well, I'm not touching that.
Which is a huge number.
No.
The only number bigger is the Tigers and White Sox, and the Tigers are minus 210. Mm-hmm. Tigers are also one of the best teams in baseball, and the White Sox obviously aren't.
Well, I just got to look up the Rockies' schedule then and see. I'm not touching them against Miami. They are at home against New York and at home against San Francisco. You know what? That might be when you decide to do it.
But is this the time that you bet on the Rockies? They're playing 11 games under 500 Miami team.
Oh, hell. No, I just think
they're
that's a
on the road
bet
in Miami.
San Francisco's above 500. They play with a lot of pride.
So you're betting, for this game for the Rockies, you're betting $100 at minus, do you say 190? Yeah. Okay.
So what's the math here?
52-63. You're betting 100 to win 52.
No.
I mean, you're not doing it.
Well, if you don't lose, remember, you're getting, what's the juice again? It doesn't matter. So you're betting, you're still getting $50. So I know you lose double, but you still get $50, basically.
I'm actually surprised it's not even more dramatic at this point.
So you think about this.
Such a, the roster, the lineup that they are bringing to the table. I mean, this is all-time historically bad.
And back in the day, this is how guys would start thinking before they get their fingers broken. So think about this. So you're playing – forget Miami. Forget Miami on the schedule right now. The next three games, forget the Marlins. You got the Mets, though. Do we have anything betting against them on the Mets? Say if you get – is it the same? So if you bet against the Rockies, who are a 9-win team, they're 9-50.
What day is that game?
That is coming up on Friday, June 6th, 8:40 p.m.
I have nothing yet.
All right.
Yeah, because they don't know the starting pitcher.
No lines, so they don't. Okay. So I'm just thinking here. So say it's the same line. Do you expect the Mets, who are at the top of the NL East, to sweep the Colorado Rockies? So I'm saying that in 3 days, you double your money. Or you'll get a double and a half because you're gonna get $150 back, right? If you keep betting the $100, it say it's the same, which it won't be, but still, say you're betting and you're getting the $50 back. I'm looking at $150 profit, still bet on the same. So I'm always ahead, unless they go on some winning streak. I'm still ahead the $50.
This sounds like the way that you lose your family's.
I understand that.
This is like you keep talking yourself into going, well, if I make 40 on this one, but then I take that 40 and I invest that into the next game, and then they win that game, now I've got 80.
Well, it's always
not going to work out for you.
Isn't that always the roulette? The roulette thing.
Let it ride on red until it hits black, and then.
Well, you double your bets.
I'll go black.
When
and
you
then
lose,
you're really dumb and it hits green and you're screwed.
Yeah, but that, look, the whole thing is when you lose, double it. Double it. Because eventually you're going to hit and then make all your money back and then the next one.
You have nothing to double.
Right.
So this schedule coming up for the Rockies. Here we go. This schedule coming up for the Rockies. They got the Mets.
Who knew
this
Rockies
weekend.
Schedule game?
Well, here we go. You guys want to be winners? You guys just want to sit here and be with nothing? So you got the Mets, then you got San Francisco. San Francisco, again, they're 33-26. They play with a lot of pride, those San Francisco Giants. Then you're at Atlanta. Atlanta, been a bit of a disappointment this year. I follow Barrett Salee down there in Atlanta. We know his now boss down there in Atlanta. We know that the Braves have been a bit of a disappointment. They're 27-31. So what are you willing to do? You willing to get away from it with the Braves, or are you willing to stick on the Braves and then go against the Rockies? Because I think that's a desperate team trying to jump back in. I'll take the Braves on that. So now you think about this. I mean, if you lose one of them and you're getting 50 a game over the next 9 games, okay, that's still what? I mean, that's perfect. Minus 100 plus 350. I mean, that's Christmas
so
right
I
there.
So I guess yesterday...
In one week in the summer.
Yesterday, the degenerates are weighing in. Yesterday, the Mets were minus 400. So you had to bet $400 to win 100.
Oh, jeez.
And he says that's like Pedro and Randy Johnson back in the day versus the worst teams in baseball.
Oh, God, I don't know if I could do that. I ain't betting $400 on
anything. Well, and then, you know, what
well,
gets
you...
you
take it down, you
they,
bet.
They have
$40
won,
to win $10.
They have won back-to-back games once this year.
Okay.
That's where you get absolutely drilled.
Well, that'll clean you
it's
out.
Like you're betting against them, and then all of a sudden they win two straight games, and it's like that wipes out the last 10 wins.
If you're willing to do it, I mean, you guys want to go in as a show?
So this is...
I just came into a bunch of money that children don't know about.
Ooh, call the girls.
Take the girls. Hey, listen.
Say, trust me on this. I work at a sports talk radio station.
Kids,
you don't think we can turn this into more money?
Exactly.
Come on.
Exactly. This is your first investment, young children.
Oh, that would be great. Are there any stories of dads who have taken the cash after a graduation party and took it to the casino?
I think we know who we're talking about. I don't know if they could see me doing this on the camera, but I think we know who we're talking about over there. I mean, that's got to be. You want to talk about investing? Listen, Paige, Marley, you guys got $15,000 here. I can turn, if you guys each got $2,000, I could turn each of that $2,000 into $4,000 by the end of the summer. I could turn that into $6,000 by the end of the summer if you're willing to go that high.
I could just see them years from now go, why'd you have to work all those jobs in college? Well, you won't believe this, but the Rockies won 3 in a row and it changed everything.
216474.
Fast tracking for a master's. Here I am. At Bennigan's.
All right. I mean, it's starting to look like you're dumb not to start making the bets. Huh?
I know. I've already felt like I've lost a ton of money not doing this.
All right. Let's ask Daryl coming up at it too. All right. Real quick about the Shador Sanders, Dylan Gabriel thing. I think you're trying to fight perception. You can't care what perception is. Like, I got Scott in Bay Village is coming after us. And I mean, I think that what he's saying, I'm saying he's coming after us, but he sent tweet after tweet after tweet. And I got to tell you, I've agreed with him on basically everything that he's tweeted at us. Basically, like, hey, like they went and got Dylan Gabriel. Did they freak out and take Shador Sanders? Possibly. But now you have to look at it and say, if the quarterback you decide to go with works out, then you don't have to worry about anything. If he doesn't, then you're going to have to answer to all these questions here. So say you did take Shador Sanders. Say Shador Sanders by the end of training camp ends up higher up on the depth chart than what Dylan Gabriel does. If Shador Sanders still works out, you're laughing. If Kenny Pickett even works out, you're laughing, which I don't know. I think some people are trying to talk themselves into Kenny Pickett, and I'm not going to allow it just yet. Joe Flacco's Joe Flacco. I told you, I think the fan base and you and I, Anthony, think a hell of a lot higher of Joe Flacco than what the Browns do right now. Just where it is. If Shador ends up higher and ends up beating him out for whatever job and takes over as QB1 at some point this year and does well, I think people are laughing about it. If Dylan Gabriel were to do it, again, but you're going to have to answer to those questions halfway through the year or at the beginning of the year or whenever if Shador were to end up ahead of it. Because, again, you surprised the NFL when you took Dylan Gabriel at the end of the third round. A lot of people thought Shador Sanders was coming off the board there. You took Dylan Gabriel, and that's where I think a lot of people are going, they are not in the Shador Sanders business. And then you turned around and on that Saturday afternoon, you went and you got Shador Sanders. So when you take Dylan Gabriel, now you're fighting your own ego. Because you take a 5'10 quarterback, you're telling everybody you know about this QB. You've done your research. This guy's going to be good. I don't know about exceptional because he's a third-round guy. But you're still telling everybody you think this guy's going to be really good. And when Zach says that he doesn't look like an NFL quarterback, my first thought is, my God, that's a bit harsh. And I'm thinking, my next thought is, Zach doesn't just say mean things to say mean things. It sounds mean, it sounds harsh, but he doesn't say it just to be a mean-spirited person. He says it because he believes it.
Well, how much would anybody care? Will it even be brought up if Shador Sanders just ends up being clearly the better guy and ends up starting very early in the season and looks like a competent quarterback?
Is he a competent franchise quarterback? Is he in the conversation?
Looks like competent quarterback immediately. Kind of like basically Brock Purdy right off the bat when he was playing.
Okay, if he looks like Brock Purdy, then I think that there will be peaks and valleys. And I do think that there will be people going, hey, guys, this is still the same group that believed in Dylan Gabriel over Shador Sanders, which will always
That's
be
true.
That
but will you know always what? Get brought up.
That will happen after tough losses because you're now a competitive football team because that means Shador Sanders plays well. If any one of those guys end up playing well, if Dylan Gabriel ends up playing really well, according to Zach, it looks like it's going to be the surprise of all surprises in NFL history. But if Shador Sanders ends up playing well, okay, yeah, he actually had the talent that some people thought he had. So if he ends up doing well, then you're going to have these games where they're going to be playing in big money games, a lot at stake, talking about playoffs at stake, whether or not they're going to make the playoffs here or that. I'm talking in like a couple of years. If you do that, then your losses are going to matter that much more. If your losses matter that much more, there could be some conversation from some fans out there. Yeah, you know what? They still thought that Dylan Gabriel was better in the third round and didn't take Shador Sanders. But you still got the quarterback. So I could sit there and I could, like, when we talk about the 49ers, I can talk all I want to about Trey Lance and say, you guys moved up in the draft to take Trey Lance, a one-read quarterback who played that one game just to show that he could have something and then put it away for a year when he was at North Dakota State. You guys moved up to take that guy who is nothing in the NFL, but they still took Brock Purdy. And if you still take that guy, you're still laughing at the end of it. So it's worth it to get over your own ego if Shador Sanders goes out and looks that good. 216-474-0092. There was a trade that was thrown out there over the weekend. We're starting to get crazy with trades. Terry Pluto is going to join us at 9:01. I want to ask him about this. What is this stuff hearing about Darius Garland of Minnesota for who? Do we have that in front of us right now?
Was it Jaden McDaniels?
Okay, Jaden McDaniels, yeah. And who else? There was another name that might have been attached to it.
Mike Conley and Leonard Miller.
If another team that's competitive thinks that our trash is going to be their treasure, don't we need to reevaluate whether or not this guy's trash? Don't we need to do that? Like, I'm getting closer and closer to thinking Darius Garland isn't the problem here. That if Evan steps up and plays to his level, like, I'm not saying Evan's a problem, but if Evan steps up and plays to the level he's supposed to going into next year, I think that opens up opportunities for Darius. I know that Darius took more shots in the final game of that series against the Pacers, and I know that bothered
You've
a lot of people.
You've heard me say that.
But I don't know if there's – you got to ask, was the trust factor there yet with Evan Mobley? Did Evan trust himself? Did Darius and Donovan trust Evan enough when he ended up taking 16 shots instead of the 12 that Evan Mobley took? Like, I think you have to ask yourself that before we start moving guys around.